John speaks of God's eternal Son come to dwell among us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. It's a joy to have you with us this evening as we begin to celebrate Christmas. If we haven't met, my name is John Drake. I'm the vicar here at St. Mary's. And it's my pleasure to bring our address this evening. Stories are immensely powerful. Stories move us deeply. They speak to our hearts. They change us. Stories set the course of our lives. And one of the ways that we hear stories is in films. So this week I've been asking friends what films make them cry. Now, Richard Crane is a man of science. His logical mind is unswayed by human emotion. But when he watches Toy Story 3 and Andy heads off to college, leaving the toys behind, he cries like a baby. Lucy Miller is a highly accomplished young woman. She studies classics at university. You would have thought it was great literature which would move her, but no. When she watches The Snowman, that classic from the 1980s, that has her welling up. Now, I've instructed the projection team to keep the films that make me cry a great secret and confidential. So I'm relying on them not to divulge any of the information that they might have discovered about me. Thank you for your cooperation. Stories are enormously powerful. And the story that I want to tell this evening is a very old story, but it's fresh every time we hear it. It's a story which has actually changed my life and has changed the lives of many of us here. It's a story that has changed where I will spend eternity. It can change your eternity as well. And as we will see, best of all, it's a story that is true. The story I want to tell this evening is God's Christmas story. It's a story of a king who loves his people, a story of rejection, and a story of a gift beyond our wildest dreams. So first, a king who loves his people. There was once an emperor of Persia known as Shah Abbas, and he loved his people, but his immense power and his privilege stopped him connecting with his people. He wanted to experience the life his people lived. He wanted to know them, and he wanted them to know him. So one evening, Shah Abbas changed out of his royal robes, and he left his royal apartments, and he went right down to the cellars of the palace, where there was a stoker keeping the furnace burning to heat the building. And the Shah and the stoker, they got on. And so night after night, Shah Abbas would keep his identity secret and head down in the evening to work alongside that stoker. And then one day he chose to make himself known, and he said to the stoker, "I am Abbas, your Shah. You are my friend. I will give you whatever you request." And the stoker said, "I have your friendship. There is nothing else that I need." Well, God's Christmas story also starts with a king who loves his people. It starts with God and his son, Jesus Christ. In the famous reading that we just heard from the Gospel of John, God's son is called the Word because he is God's self-expression. For all eternity, the Word was with God and the Word was God. But at that first Christmas, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Oh, he didn't just leave the royal apartment. He came from the splendor of heaven down to earth, born in a place of conflict and suffering then, just as it is today. He didn't just change out of his royal robes. He took on frail flesh and experienced all of our weakness and pain. See, we sometimes think of God as distant and uncaring. But in the person of his son, he came into this world. And he did it because he loves us. And he wants to know us. And he wants us to know him. God's story starts with a king who loves his people and came to be with them. But the story continues with rejection. You see, we would hope that when the king came into his world, he would be welcomed and loved by his people. But in verse 10 of our reading from John, John describes what actually happened to Jesus when he came. And John writes this, "He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him." Now that phrase, "not recognize," speaks of a deliberate act to ignore. It's like if someone cuts you cold at school or in the office. When Jesus came, the world cut him cold, deliberately ignored him. And John continues, "He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him." And that speaks of a deliberate act to reject. Like if someone just slams the front door in your face when you come to visit. Jesus came to his own people, and they slammed the door in his face. And it happened because Jesus lived a life of perfect love, and the people found it too challenging. It happened because he taught people how to live, and they did not like it. And it happened because he claimed to be God on earth, and they did not want God on earth, and so they nailed him to the cross. Now, it's tempting for us to point the finger at the people back then, but the truth is that we all do the same thing. Jesus' example of perfect love, it challenges us in our selfishness. We don't want Jesus to tell us how to live. The truth is we'd rather live our own way without him. And we don't want God to be in charge of our lives. Instead, each one of us would rather be in charge of our own lives and live in God's world as if we were God, not him. And that rejection is what the Bible calls sin. Sin's not so much doing things that are wrong, it's an attitude of pushing God away. And the Bible tells us we all do it, and it's so serious because as we reject God, we hurt ourselves, we damage those around us, and we actually separate ourselves from friendship with God, who is perfect, separated from friendship with him now, and facing a future without him and his good gifts. So God's Christmas story, it begins with a king who loves his people, but it continues with rejection. The rejection that Jesus faced then when he came and that he faces still today. But wonderfully, God's story ends with a gift beyond our wildest dreams. Despite our rejection, God loves us still and he offers us a gift. Now, historians believe that the most valuable gift ever given was the Cullinan diamond. This precious gemstone was presented to King Edward VII in 1905. It was a huge diamond. It was the size of a tennis ball. It weighs 600 grams, and it's worth £200 million in today's money. And you saw it in May, because it's at the end of King Charles's scepter that he was holding during the coronation. Jesus Christ offers us a gift far more valuable than that. John writes, "Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." What a gift. We sometimes think that all human beings are automatically God's children. Oh, we're all made by God and loved by him, that's true. But we're not automatically his children. We saw that our sin separates us from relationship with God until it is dealt with. And that is why Jesus Christ came, to give us the right to become God's children. Now, the children of God have an intimate relationship with God. I wonder if you've seen this famous photo of President Kennedy, if you can make him out there. He's sitting at his desk in the Oval Office. And his little boy, JJ, is playing under the desk, peeking out through that hatch. I think this is one of my favorite photos ever. I love to imagine generals and ambassadors and cabinet secretaries all queuing up outside. They're waiting for a few minutes with the president. But his son, JJ, can just stroll straight in to enjoy his father's presence, to ask his questions, to share his chatting, to receive his father's help. He has an intimate relationship with his father, the president. Well, the children of God have an intimate relationship with their father, God. The children of God can come into his presence in prayer, ask our questions, receive his help. We know that our father loves us and is with us and is always working for our good. God's children have an intimate relationship with him. And they also have a certain future. You know, the child of God knows that if they left church this evening and they were run over by the number 5 bus, they would be welcomed into heaven, their family home, not because they deserve it, but because by God's gift they are his child. Now, this gift is free to receive, but it cost Jesus Christ everything. It cost him the incarnation when he became one of us. And it cost him the cross when he paid himself for our rejection of God. What a gift this is. Our sin would separate us from friendship with God. But the children of God receive an intimate relationship with him. Our sin leaves us facing a future separated from God and all his good gifts. Yet the children of God receive a certain future in the family home. So God's Christmas story, it's the story of a king who loves his people. It's a story of rejection and then a story of a gift beyond our wildest dreams. It is a wonderful story, and best of all, it's a true story. Almost 100 years ago in 1931, J.R.R. Tolkien, who went on to write the Lord of the Rings books, was talking to C.S. Lewis, who would go on to write the Narnia books. And they were talking about the story of Christ. And Tolkien made the point that, unlike the other great stories, what made the story of Christ unique is that it's true, that it really happened. And as Lewis reflected on that conversation, it led him to receive Jesus as his king. I found that the more you look into the historical evidence of Jesus Christ, the more reasons you find to believe that it's true. And the Gospels are eyewitness accounts. The Gospel writers write the whole story, the awkward and embarrassing bits and all. And they went on to suffer and die for sticking to the truth of what they wrote. God's story is wonderful and true. He really does offer us the right to become his children. And like any gift, we have to receive it. And we receive God's gift by receiving Jesus, by receiving him into our lives to be in charge, to be in charge of our time, our relationships, in charge of all that we are. So as we finish, I want to ask, what's your place in God's story? And where are you when it comes to receiving God's gift? I know that many of us have already asked Jesus to come in and take charge. And the danger is that we forget what God has given us. So believers, I want to challenge you, say to yourself every day between now and Christmas, thanks to Jesus, I'm a child of God. I have an intimate relationship with him. I have a certain future with him. And live out that truth. Many of us have received the gift already. Perhaps you're in a different place. Perhaps you don't believe the story. Well, if that's you, please think carefully. There's nothing more important than being right with God. And as J.R.R. Tolkien said, the story is true. Or maybe this evening you're considering it. You're considering receiving Christ into your life. But you know it will be costly. You know there'd be big changes. Well, it is costly to receive Christ. But just think of the cost he paid and of how wonderful it is to be a child of God. If you're considering it, I'd love you to pick up one of these booklets on your way out. It's called Christmas in Three Words. This will be our gift to you. And it explains what it is to be a child of God far more clearly than I can. And if you're considering it, we'd love you to join us in January for Christianity Explored. It's a course particularly for those who are considering God's gift. Perhaps you're considering it. Or maybe you're ready to receive Christ this evening. I'm going to say a short prayer now, which all of us can echo in our hearts. And then we will stand and sing, O Come, All Ye Faithful. A moment of quiet, and then we will pray. If you'd like to make this your prayer, do echo it quietly in your heart. Lord Jesus, thank you that you became flesh and died on the cross so that we can become the children of God. We ask you to come into our lives or to stay in our lives, to be our living Lord. Thank you that all who receive you have an intimate relationship with God and a certain future with him. Amen.